Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on back to the X-Wing segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. As always, I am your host, Vince Borgato. Joining me, just the two of us this week, Mr. Drew Bishop.
Hello there.
We are unfortunately without the services of one Jeff Wilder as he is dealing with a personal situation. So we look forward to having him back next week. And next week we will be reviewing all of the hyperspace trials from the last several weeks. But as we said last week, in the run-up to Worlds, it is time to talk about what could be the hand grenade thrown into the meta everyone was expecting. And that would be the Nantex and the BTLB Y-Wing. Off the top of your head, Drew, which one do you think is going to have more of an effect, and why isn't it Sunfac with Ensnare?
That's exactly what I was going to say, was the Sunfac with Ensnare. But I don't know, man. It's I'm really interested to see the the Sinker Swarm. You know, is the Sinker Swarm with one or two Y-Wings with dorsal turret, is it worth it? Is it worth it for a single one with ion cannon turret? Mm. That is kind of what I'm thinking, where the Y-Wing would actually be used most efficiently. But I don't think I've seen anyone, I haven't gotten a chance to put them on the table yet. But that's what I've been thinking about.
Yeah, there are a couple of, if you were to go Sinker Swarm with some of the new BTLB Y-Wings in there, I think the number one guy you would have to start with is Matchstick.
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, he is the pilot skill for Y-Wing. His special ability is when you perform a primary or turret attack, you may reroll one attack die for each red token you have. So if you can find a way, Republic is not great on spreading actions out, but if, say, you were to take Palpatine or Darth Sidious, depending on which one, and give him a focus or a target locker, whichever you would agree with, Matchstick could dish out some pretty... he'd be almost like the Republic version of Horton.
Right, and there's the other thing too. These BTLB Y-wings also have like the hard three. Not a lot of the Republic ships actually have a hard three that is like decent enough to do right. So like the Aether Sprites don't even have it right to begin with.
No, not at all.
And then the what is it? The Arc, and I believe the Gold also have it, but they're red, right?
The Arc I think is white. Because it's basically the same as an X-Wing.
The Arc is a red hard three. And then the V-19 doesn't have a hard three. So I do think that there is a sort of niche spot for the BTLB where, you know, because there's a lot of times when I'm flying clones, using Arcs and especially using the Aether Sprite, I'm like, man, if I could do a hard three here, that would be really awesome. And so I do feel like the BTLB Y-Wing has the ability to get into certain spots where a normal Republicist wouldn't be able to. And then, you know, that begs the question, are you going to dodge the range one or two shot from the Y-Wing or from Matchstick, right, with the stress? Or are you just going to go for whatever you were going to go for before?
Right? Yeah, because if you can find a way, like with... I think Axe is the name of the named Torrent who can pass out green tokens. Or if you were to run Plo in kind of the Rick Ollier or Obi-Wan spot, it would be really easy to get tokens on some of these guys who have that you decided to give red maneuvers and still be able to get those rerolls. My question, and it's kind of... I know a lot of people have already said no. Is there any reason to take Anakin in a Y-Wing?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. My friend and I, as soon as they dropped the points, he was like, he's a Republic guy, so he was like, dude, we gotta build it. And I don't know, man. Like, maybe we'll have Republic versions of missile spam or proton, right? Like, auto hits, but I mean, the ship is just not maneuverable, so you're already putting yourself on the back pedal with the possibility of not being able to have a real bid. Right? Like, you know, is the bid really that worth it on a ship that has a dial like this?
Well, right? I was talking to Jeff about this when it dropped, and there definitely is a problem in maneuverability. Like, you're never going to be playing the same kind of always out of arc, never, you know, untouchable game, as you will with the Delta 7. But you're twice the health, and you're still able to take regen. And the other thing about...
Right.
Oh, God.
I don't think I've ever been happier to see the 1.0 wilding in 2.0.
I was just thinking that, honestly, on Anakin, it's not a big deal that the dial isn't great, just because of his unique ability.
Right, this is true.
You're not particularly worried about a three hard, a red three hard if you're Anakin, because if you're doing it, you know, obviously you would love to have fine tuned on a Y-wing, and thank God they don't have it for Force users. But unless you drop double crits on him, you're never going to catch a panic pilot, and you're always going to be able to eat that stress. And then you still have two behind it for mods. Right. If you were to go for something like, and I think this is the way to go, would be an advanced proton. Literally, I'm going to remove or seriously damage one thing in front of me. Then Obi-Wan and Rick are going to clean up what's behind me, and then we're going to move on. And you can spend your whole game chasing me around with my 10 health after regens, or you can try to dogfight two I-5s with evades and evades and unlimited focuses. You know, what's your play? By the way, I'm Anakin. If I K-turn and you're where I was, I'm eating that stress anyway, and then I'm going to target lock you again.
Right, yeah, I'm just gonna shoot you again.
There's no way that I would ever make the argument it is as good as regen Delta 7, but if you're of the opinion, as most of us are, that regen is going to be changed somewhat, and that maybe Anakin might be going up again in the next points just because of how good he is in the Delta 7, I think there's an argument to be made for a different build of Republic using Anakin in the Y-Wing.
It's an entirely different ship, but it's so weird. Like, I don't think I've seen this before. Now, obviously, it is in the game with pilots having the same abilities across different chassis. But the Anakin in the BTLB plays way differently than the Aether Sprite, and I'm excited to see what people come up with it.
I just worry that no one's gonna do it because we already know that Anakin in the 7B is extremely good.
This is very true. Although I do feel like with the 10 health, right, with the heals, until the R2 is changed, I do feel like at least Anakin in the BTLB may be one of the most viable out of these set of pilots, disregarding the Initiative 2, right? Like the generic mook that you can take like a bajillion of in a list.
What do you think of R2?
Oh, my friend, I got a list with R2, which is pretty awesome.
What I love about him is he's got an I-6's ability on an I-2 chassis.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I wouldn't be wrong if I told you that, you know, it's very easy to trail these things, right? But now that the arcs can shift and change, you know, is a list with Anakin with Delta, Rick with Healbot, and R2-D2 with Ahsoka Tano, Palpatine, and an Ion Cannon with a bid. Right? Like, could that be something?
I need to look at Ahsoka Gunner. She's the other name that everybody is mentioning.
Yeah, I don't actually remember what she does. My friend and I, we built that list, but I wasn't, like, I was working, so I didn't get a chance to actually sit down and, like, see it all. Let me build it real quick here.
So her ability, for those who do not know, after you execute a maneuver, that doesn't say fully, by the way, you may spend one force and choose a friendly ship at range 1-3 in your firing arc. If you do, it may perform a red focus even while stressed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's not bad. Since her ability is not actually, it's not a specific turret arc, it's just any firing arc, I think you slap this on a wolf or sinker.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, I think this is probably what I was talking about a couple weeks ago when I said Wolf with the right support character is as good of a third ship as Rick or CLT Obi-Wan.
Right, right, right.
Because if you think about it, if you were to replace, let's say you replaced Rick with Ahsoka and Wolf, it's not quite the same, but you can finagle the points. You're talking about a target locking Jedi with a red focus on one of the best dials in the game, even if they're already stressed. What the hell? I have a poltergeist throwing water bottles around my room. It's a ghetto coordinate, you know, and it doesn't eat up your action.
Yep.
And you also just put a force mod on Wolf, by the way.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, just Ahsoka giving the Force in general is pretty insane. I think the biggest thing about this R2 Anakin Rick is the ability to give extra actions to these super high aces. And it's, you know, she's 12 points, but dang man, the list that I just gave to you has a 6-point bid.
Yeah. And in a 3-ship list, 12 points is easy to find.
Right, right. No, exactly. Which is what we've seen from a Republic as far as competition goes, barring the Sinker Swarm or variants of it.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel of the three Anakins? What is your top, like, what's your order on them?
I definitely, wait, we have a third Anakin? Oh, that's right, because he's in the
Kid Flash. Kid Flash.
Sorry, yeah, Kid Flash. I have not seen enough of Kid Flash to know whether or not he's good.
I would recommend you go watch Marcel win a hyperspace trial with Kid Anakin, Rick Olier, and Obi-Wan.
I mean, there's a reason why most ships don't have a Force upgrade and an elite
and
talent,
a talent
upgrade. I'm almost positive that there is a build with him specifically that is super good, and I'm excited to see that. But I definitely feel like the Delta B, you know, until we get more hyperspace trials in and worlds, right, seeing that Y-Wing, I definitely think the Delta is number one. I would probably then say the Y-Wing is number two because of the initiative, right, you know, the power, the Force, the ability to... the ability to missile spam, right, or device spam, essentially.
Sure.
Followed by Kid Flash.
I am infatuated with the possibilities of a Force user with an EPT. And there is a list out there that I have not built, and it may be Ahsoka may be the missing link. Where Kid Flash becomes, you know, if not number two, maybe the best version of Anakin. Once people are experimenting enough with it to find out how far you can push that, because there's not really anybody in the game that can crab walk. He's almost a phantom.
Which one? The
Anakin in a Naboo is almost a phantom in far of how far laterally he can move.
Right, right. And Ahsoka being able to give him those free barrel rolls.
Well, no, she gives him a focus even after he stresses himself. So he can go. You can have him barrel roll into a Talon roll, and then proc Ahsoka Gunner on him and give him a focus anyway, even after he procs his full throttle.
Well, the Talon roll doesn't give you full throttle.
Oh, it's stressed. Yeah, that's right. I hate defenders.
But there's another interesting thing too, though, right? Like you slapped two stress on him. Was it worth it? I mean, if you're not getting shot at and you've got like outmaneuver, right? Like, sure.
You know me. I like crazy ideas.
No, it's good. It's good, and I definitely feel like there's something, right? Like, well, I know that's actually one of the reasons why I haven't brought up like a good force power with an elite pilot talent power, like, or like the two cards working together. But I know that at some point we're gonna get something, and he's gonna be the only one that can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna be cool. I'm excited to see that.
I have been looking very closely at running him and Rick both with Juke, and then Wolf with some sort of support character to get Anakin a focus every turn.
I mean, Chancellor Palpatine does that real nice.
Yeah, but he's really expensive. I mean, if Ahsoka is expensive, the Emperor is fucking expensive.
This is true. But it's crazy good. I've been trying to run an Anakin Delta Proton Torpedo Rick with a 104th. And the one thing that's killing me in that list is I don't have R4 on Rick, so the plays to get the torpedo evade focus target lock shot off, you really don't have a whole lot of ways to get in there. At least once you flip Palpatine. Once you flip Palpatine, it's all over. And you know, I feel like in that list you almost don't flip Palpatine, right? You just save the 104 for the coordinate. But I mean, Ahsoka almost does the same thing in that list for 2 points cheaper. So
yeah, because when you're talking about specifically Anakin and Rick, they don't really need anything other than a focus.
Yep.
They have every other action on the bar you'd want them to use. So if you can find a way to get them a focus, that's where it gets... Like, imagine Daredevil Rick with Ahsoka Gunner behind him.
Yeah.
That's arc dodging. Yeah, that's arc dodging. Because you just turned what was, you know, I'm going in for a joust with an I-6 into, oh, by the way, I'm on your left.
Right, right. Exciting. It's real cool. I haven't gotten a chance to play X-Wing in almost 3 weeks, but wow. I've been itching for it, man. Like, I've been waiting for these to come out. That's kind of my big thing. I want to see what people can come up with.
But I like how we wanted to start on the Nantex and we immediately segued into fawning over Republic. Is that probably?
I mean, the Y-wing model looks so cool.
It does look really cool. It looks, but you know, Jeff hates it because it's yellow.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. A lot of things in this life, a lot of things in the world are yellow, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, Jeff's taste in ships leaves a lot to be desired. Is there anyone else? I'm hearing good things about Broadside, which is kind of interesting. Like, you wouldn't think that a Y-wing that's flying around shooting sideways would be the most useful thing in the world. But if it has, I mean, if you're doing it in such a way that they can't zoom out and go hunting for him, I can see how it works, especially with a standing reroll and an action.
Well, I mean, you look at it this way. If Broadside takes it wide, and Anakin and Obi-Wan, if there is such a list with these three ships in it, you know, come straight up the side of the board, I mean, it's free modifiers, yeah. Right? Like, Broadside is a better version of Horton, right? Because Horton rerolls blanks, right?
Yep.
But this one just turns it into a focus, like, with an ion cannon rolling three dice at something, like, that's... You average... with the statistic loadout of those three attack dice, right, the hit, focus, blank, that's three hits, like, consistently, supposedly, right, as far as the dice are concerned. That's pretty dang good, I think. That is definitely... Broadside is one, actually, that, I, being a big fan of pirates, I completely forgot about this pilot until just now. I definitely think we'll see him on the table. Especially in a sinker swarm. Like, could you imagine sinker on one side and broadside on the other? And it's just like, come at me, bro, right? Like,
yeah. Broadside, a lot of these guys, a lot of the Y-Wings, it looks like, are pretty much built to take the place of something in a sinker swarm. And they're not, I mean, they're going to be, 7 or 8 points more expensive than a torrent. Like, I can't see broadside costing more than 34. That would be, to me, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it, if he was just...
Maybe 30, with plated hull, maybe 36.
Yeah, I mean, he is 36, right? So that's...
Oh, is that... Wow, holy shit. I didn't even notice that. I was... Well, I'm impressing myself right now.
And I do think that their ship ability as well gives them the ability, unlike the Ark, to jump ahead. And your opponent can't jump on these things, right? Like, they could, but you're gonna need a lot of firepower to kill it on the first round of engagement. And I don't know if that is a possibility, is unless you're CIS or you've got multiple sixes coming in.
I think the Y-wings are probably the natural counter to the droid, the shell charge swarm.
Yeah, turning the focus to a crit.
Well, not only that, just the amount of three die attacks coming out of that many ships, you're gonna start rolling crits. But that one evade die plus three shields instead of two means that essentially you probably ignore the first three crit results that come up against you.
Oh, yeah, and did we mention that shield upgrade is 4 points on this thing?
4 points.
Oh, yep. Man. Yeah, that's...
45 points gives you broadside with 9 health and an ion turret.
I mean, but bro, why don't we take it once that... Was it 49 points? Why don't we make it...
45
points? Why don't we just make him 48 and he's got 11? Wait, no.
Does he have... How would he have... Oh, you want to put...
R2.
You want to spend the 3 points for R2? Yeah, why not?
Why not? That's insane.
That's... Again, I've said this before. I'm really glad that Republic doesn't have access to R2-D2.
That's 11 health. Wow.
Yeah. Broadside's a beast. Or the Republic Y-Wing with the ability to just laugh at crits... is a really good deal.
I mean, no one has said it yet, but everyone's thinking it. The only counter, Kylo Ren.
People think Kylo Ren solves all their problems.
Hilarious.
I know what solves my problem with this. My name's Arvel.
Oh, but I'm...
No, seriously, like, Arvel solves all problems. I'm really interested to see if Republic could make the first, like, very hyper defensive squad between cheap shield upgrades, cheap Y wings, Sinker and Luminara.
Oh my gosh, Vince, Obi-Wan sense calibrated Anakin Delta R2 with our 48 point broadside with an 8 point bid.
Oh, God. Can you imagine getting ioned with a sense Obi-Wan and a 7B Anakin on your ass?
I mean, do you even need sense at that point, right? Like, the broadside...
No, you actually do. You literally don't.
Like, hold on.
You pull the fire.
Return the sense with one more point into R2 on Obi-Wan.
No, you really want that R2A6.
R2A6? Okay, we do that instead.
That's too good to take out of a list.
It's the same cost. I mean, well, technically now it's one more point, right? So you have a 7 point bid. That looks fun.
Is there a way to get 7B on Obi-Wan without the bid?
Well, let's see in here, buddy. Da-da-da-da. Delta B. Nope. Unless we drop the R2 on Anakin. Then we have a 4 point bid, but that's not.
No. You need that regen on Anakin. Why don't we just take the regen off of broadside and put it on Obi-Wan?
But 11 health.
But 11 health. Yeah, but 11 fair.
Health, right. Yeah. But either way, that's true. Insane. I'm going to test this out. That looks fun.
Yeah, now that we've talked about it, these Y-Wings are going to be so beefy.
their ship ability, like, is, I mean, they're beef, right?
I'm really interested to see exactly how tough you can make one of these with Luminara.
Yep. And again, we have Oddball in the Initiative 5 with the same...
What do they see in Oddball that we're missing?
I don't know. I have no idea, but I saw him and I was like, oh, great.
And he's still just as overpriced in the Y-Wing.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense. His ability's not that good. Like, why is it because that Republic is so crowded at I-5? Is that what it is?
Right. It makes me wonder. There were some astromechs for scum in 1.0 that messed with stress and how you do things. And they ultimately wound up being bad for the game, which makes sense. It basically turned stress into a resource for certain ships, which was garbage. It should never be done. But looking at Oddball, it makes me think, are there astromechs that we will see, maybe specifically for Republic, that have to do with stress and using it to your advantage? Because Matchstick also has an ability like that too, right? Like, it's just waiting for that one upgrade to really make them more solid. Because, like, why would you take Matchstick when you can reroll an attack die, when you could pay almost 10 points less for Broadside, who does the same thing but better?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's real strange to me. It's cool abilities, but looking at the crop of, oh my god, how many do we have here? 2, 4, 6, 8 ships, right? I see Anakin, Broadside, and then the Red Squadron Bomber. Those, I think, are going to be the three that we're going to see. Mm. Oh, and I think R2-D2 is also up there, too.
People will bring R2 because people love passive mods, which is not a bad thing.
Right, but Broadside is passive mods too, right? So I guess the question is R2-D2 better for 1 point less?
No.
Now he does have the calculate as opposed to the Broadside. I think Broadside takes the cake there.
Yeah, I would go Broadside. Yeah, I would go Broadside, I think.
Shall we move on to the...
I think the next thing we should talk about, since we're staying in this pack mostly... do we want to have the argument about precog and foresight versus snapshot?
Oh, I have no idea what. Oh, you just said a lot of words, okay. and it's hard for me to follow.
They have created a ghetto replacement for supernatural reflexes. And it's precognitive reflexes.
Teacher.
It's after you reveal your dial, you may spend one force to perform a barrel roll or boost. Then, if you performed an action you do not have on your action bar, gain one strain. If you do, you cannot perform another action during your activation.
Interesting.
So, obviously, with any pre-movement force power, the name you're always going to hear is Vader. Anakin's the other one, which is... It's the same guy. I don't like this at all.
My question real quick is, then if you perform an action, you don't have your action bar, gain one strain token. So it says, if you do, what does that mean? If you gained a strain token, or if you revealed your dial, you spent a force to perform the thing?
If you performed the precognitive reflexes move, you cannot perform another action. That's how I'm choosing to read this, because it's a completely separate statement.
Interesting. Yes, and it is separate, and I'm sure it's separate for that specific reason.
They did not tie a strain token for the ability to not take another action. That's a ridiculous interpretation of the card.
Right. So the question was about precog and...
Well, let's just do precog for the moment. I mean, if you were already running Supernatural, would you take the discount to run precog?
I don't think so. Not at all. So what's the question? I know that you're trying to stick on precognitive. I was looking at it, and I like the idea that FFG is much like there's other card games like Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh that kind of do this, where if a card comes out that is too good, right, they'll either price it to infinity as far as X-Wing is concerned, or they'll ban it as far as the card games go and come out with something that kind of does the same thing, but, like, more cost-effective. And by cost-effective, I mean, like, the previous card that was printed was too good, right? So they came out with this new one that does the same thing, but now for an appropriate cost. Is precog worth it? I don't think so
either.
Maybe to get around Snapshot. Right? Like, oh, I'll just boost, and then I'll do my maneuver, and now I'm done. And, you know, now I'm out of arc, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, the problem is once you get there, you can't do anything there. You're kind of just, you've dodged the snapshot, but that's a big spend to dodge a two die unmodified when you don't know if the guy before you has moved yet. Like, people are always making the argument right in this discussion. It's like, well, I just won't use it. But what if you know where your move is going to end up is disastrous? And, like, the second move is only marginally better. Are you still going to not use it, or are you just going to take your chances? I mean,
you know, I think the biggest thing is, and I mean, maybe I'm moving on to Snapshot, but I don't think Snapshot is going to be a real thing, especially with Jedi. Like, whose Force users are rampant in this game. And I really don't think that the two free dice shots are going to do anything, especially if they're going to just get out of your arc anyways after they're done moving, right? Or they'll take it. They'll take the two dice shot, and then they'll just murder you.
Well, I think, so for me, Snapshot is not what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be a way for...
It's very expensive.
I wanted it to be a way for Rebel A-Wings to get a real damage boost. And that's just not what it is.
Yep.
I think the only way I'm taking Snapshot is if I'm putting it on Wedge in a list with Arbel, so that whatever I'm shooting at is rolling at most one evade die.
Yeah, that's and there's the other thing too, right? How can you use Snapshot best or precognitive best is to have a ship with an ability that it gives you passive mods, right? I mean, Force in general gives you passive mods. Going back to precognitive reflexes and super natty really brings me back to the old 1.0 Phantom, where, you know, once Whisper or Echo sees where everyone goes on the board, you can just decide, I'll just go here and not get shot at. Right? And if you're not getting shot at, you'll gain that force back from the precognitive reflexes, so you can do it next turn even if you really needed to.
Yeah.
But it does, in a way, precognitive could give the Aether Sprites that hard 3, right? Like, you could boost forward and then hard 2, or boost left or right and then hard 2, and kind of give you a wider range. But that is only, I could see that only being used, these cards and abilities only being used in that way if you are already in a bad position with Anakin. Right? Like, you put yourself in a spot where you're like, oh, great, I can justify using it to save myself, when in reality, you know, perhaps if you were better, you wouldn't be in that position ever anyways. Right. Right?
What do you think of the idea of costing Snapshot by base size?
I don't think you can do that. I think it has to be initiative.
Well, it is base sized. Smalls pay 7, mediums pay 8, larges pay 9.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe they kind of took what we had been saying on other podcasts, and by they, I mean, like, FFG, taking it to heart, right? Like, you can't spam it.
I don't understand why you're paying 9 points to put a 2-die unmodded attack on a Falcon.
Right.
To me, that,
right.
Like, I automatically default to the Falcon, because this would be, in theory, this would be a good way to get a little extra damage out of a mostly support choice like Lando, you know, because Han gets no benefit out of Snapshot. Even though his rule says that it doesn't count as a reroll, they've decided to nerf Snapshot and not let him reroll those dice, which to me is dumb.
Right. Well, sure, it's stupid, but at the same time, man, do you really want a snapshotting Han moving around the board? That is pretty nasty.
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting trick shot anymore.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't... Regardless, and that actually, is that a good segue into the Nantex? I know I've mentioned it once before with obstacles, right? The style, the type and style of obstacles,
dude.
You bring.
Like, the obstacles argument in X-Wing is exhausting. Yeah.
Well, even more so now that one of what people are hailing as one of the better, or, you know, high-ranking best ships in the game now...
is going to be throwing tractor tokens in every direction.
Right.
I guess we should start at the top with the I-6 Sunfac. He is an I-6 for 54 points. Oh my god, he's so expensive based. While you perform a primary attack, if the defender is tractored, roll one additional attack die. Thank god he's not in scum, because if you paired him with the Shadowcaster, they would be the most broken list in the game right now.
Yeah, it would be very unfun.
And then all Nantex fighters come with the pinpoint tractor array ability. You cannot rotate your turret arc to your rear. After you execute a maneuver, you may gain one tractor token to perform a rotate action. The Nantex is interesting in that its 3-die primary is bullseye only, and then it has a rotatable 2-die turret. It's evade 3 with 4 hole, no shields. It only has 2 actions, focus and evade. But of course, when you give yourself a tractor token, you can barrel roll or boost yourself.
Yep, and that is actually one of the reasons why I think this ship is so incredibly powerful, is you get the reposition with the double reposition of your turret. Right, so like if your turret was in the wrong spot, well, great, I just moved. I'm now repositioning to barrel roll or boost forward, and then I get to turn my turret again. And if I even remotely got close to range 1 and you're not in my arc, I can just push you into the turret range or move you into the bullseye. Is it worth it to go 79 points with Crackshot?
You mean...
With Ensnare, sorry.
Yeah, we
haven't even talked about Ensnare
yet. We'll get there eventually. Why don't we do that now so that I can properly do the math on whether or not Crackshot and Ensnare is a good idea?
Oh yeah, is it even? Is it even worth it?
I don't think so. Put it this way. That's a lot of points in 4 health, no shields.
Yep.
And let's see. The ability for Ensnare, it is Nantex only. At the end of the activation, if you are tractored, you may choose one ship in your turret arc at range 0 to 1. Transfer a token to it, and that does mean that you can roll or boost whatever it is you tractor with that ability.
With a faction that can run multiple torpedo launching energy shell charges, I think Dank X-Wing Memes had a picture of it where like it was this for someone won a hyperspace or something with it, right? It was this 4 energy cell charge vultures and then one of the hyenas. I don't know exactly what was on the hyena, but I know Sunfac had Ensnare, and it just sounded like that list was extremely it's like the worst. It is literally like the 2 worst things in X-Wing, like an I-6 that can do almost anything along with the missile spamming token sharing, right? Like,
yeah. And we should mention that this is on a chassis that is essentially as good as the Jedi Starfighter.
Yeah, I was going to say the dial is literally an interceptor, except it doesn't have the blue hard 2s.
But it does have blue 3 banks.
Best move in the game.
The most dangerous and also the best. More rocks have been waiting at the end of three banks than any other maneuver next week.
You're not wrong.
I am of 2 minds about this ship. Number 1, it is definitely abusive as hell, and it's going to be. But hey, you know, you guys want, this is what people in the game want, is more game breaking Initiative 6 pilots. Guess what? You got another one. The rest of them, I don't really, except for that particular ship and that combination of abilities, I'm not sure I'm real impressed with it.
I just want someone to build a list with only the Nantex class Starfighter, and they call it the PTA meeting. Pinpoint tractor array.
I don't. Oh my god. How did I not see that coming?
Middle management shuffling things around, right?
Moving on. The I-5 pilot is named Berwer Kret.
You got a Berwer. You got a Berwer of him. Watch out.
Berwer Kret. After you perform an attack that hits, each friendly ship with calculate on its action bar and a lock on the defender may perform a red lock action or a red calculate action. That's ridiculous with a droid swarm. That's actually insane.
Yeah, there's a version. One of the with the dank droids.
An infiltrator with dank droids would love having just a random base no bonus Berwer Kret.
I mean, if you run a list with all of them, what's the list called? We're gonna Berwer Kret. His ability is so gross, though, dude. Seriously, with the dank droids, that is insane. I mean,
and this is before Kraken or TA-175.
Right. And you know, most of these, I mean, all of the droids have the ability to hard one. It's not hard to launch a dank droid and just shuffle it around the side, and that turn before you engage. All of your ships have a target lock on them, on your target, right?
One that's a little more Nantex. It's a little bit more conventional, but definitely extremely good. Chertek, Initiative 4. While you perform a primary attack, if the defender is tractored, you may reroll up to 2 attack dice.
You got a Chertek before you wreck it.
Chertek before.
Good.
Hang on. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to get the line right.
Oh no, I got it. You got a Chertek before you Berwer Kret.
That's not where I was going, but okay. I'm not going to date myself by making the reference
you're
I want to make.
Holy cow, man! Another passive modifiers again.
This is a really good one to pair with somebody running in snare. Or just to do it himself.
Yep. He pulls a. This is not Chertek. This is Thanos. Fine. I'll do it myself. Right. Like.
Fine. Yeah.
Man, that is a great ability for an initiative 4.
39 points. 39 points.
Yeah.
They are soft. They are squishy, but they hit extremely hard. Gorgol is another one whose name has popped up. Initiative 2, a little bit more of a support character. During the system phase, you may gain 1 disarm token and choose a friendly ship at range 1 to 2. If you do, it gains a tractor token, then repairs one of its face up ship trait damage cards.
Dude, for the cost of Gorgol?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, why not?
It's a 3-die forward gun, also with a turret, who also, if you think about it, lets you roll things off of rocks and heal the damage they just took by landing on them.
Well, it's got to be crit, though, right? Like, it's got to be face up. Being able to heal is...
Or just the ability to roll somebody off a rock with a tractor token.
Yep. But if you look at it, though, what are the I-6s, the top I-6s in the game, what do they like to do? Poe likes to get into range 1 and blow you away. Vader likes to get into range 1 and blow you away. Anakin likes to get into range 1 and blow you away. This ship is like, I'm just going to push you away from me, and then I'm going to shoot you anyways. And Sunfac rolls 4 dice at range 1.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where I think we can say that there is not a bad one of these pilots.
Yeah, the BTLB Y-Wing was real close at having pretty much every pilot usable in some way, shape, or form. Looking at the Nantex, I don't think you're ever going to see the Stahlgassen Hive Guard.
No, because if you think about things like Soulless One and Impervium Plating, as soon as you get through that, Gorgol essentially just pulls one of those cards.
That is also true, too.
There is. I wonder if they're trying to make if they're trying to give Separatists the option to be a little bit more of a small squadron list instead of a swarm only. I think that's probably the point of the Nantex, is to fill that TIE Advanced B Wing and low pilot skill arc area.
Right, right. Man, Gorgol, I don't understand. I don't see why you would not, for 36 points, why you would just not take him base in a list. Like, just always. Like, being able to pass the tractor token, like, hold on, you set your dial, right, for your other I-6, like Anakin that's beating around the bush, and then you just hard one with Gorgol. Sure, you're disarmed for the round, so you can't shoot, but, like, oh my gosh, you just rocked Anakin and completely screwed the maneuver that he had, right? Or the other I-6 had, or any ship had, on top of Sunfac, who I'm assuming if you're going to take one, you're always going to start with Sunfac, to just come up and be like, cool, now you've got two tractor tokens. Now, obviously, they don't stack, is that correct?
They do not.
Okay, I think in 1.0 they did, which is, no, I don't think they ever did. That might just be my fear. And incarnate, but either way, it's still like, oh my gosh, this is.
I think Gorgol really does fit best with Grievous.
Yeah, no, Gorgol makes the Cadillacs much better, like way better.
Only because it becomes a lot easier to proc his ability. Where if you're outside of the guy's arc, you get your rerolls.
Right, right. The Cadillac in general it's a good ship, but it's lacking in its blue maneuvers.
Yeah.
Right? And so that extra boost, oh my, I'm so sorry. I am using Gorgol incredibly incorrectly. During the game one, just friendly ship at range 1 to 2.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was enemy ship. That's where I was like, why would you never not take Gorgol? Man, I gotta read. Read. But even so, man, that's super good. I can definitely see it being used on Grievous, especially after Solus 1 is, you know, said and done.
Yeah, I really like all of what we're seeing out of the Nantex. Which of the reissued ships are you looking most forward to in terms of hyperspace?
I don't know if I'm looking forward to any of them. I was excited about the Jumpmaster. I tried a lot to make Dengar work, and just watching him get cheaper and, you know, pretty much everything else in Scum not really change. It's kind of been a letdown. Hopefully we'll see a few more changes, but I like the Jumpmaster. I don't have the money, and I will not be buying another Ghost unless I, you know, stumble upon a bunch of store credit. But I am real excited for a Ghost that can fit the shuttle in it, and hopefully when it comes out, the attack shuttle too.
I'm really interested in having AP5 and hyperspace lists for Rebels.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting too. What is it? What, he used to be one of the cheapest ways of coordinate in the
game. He's the second cheapest, as far as I know. The only one cheaper is the escape craft.
Yep, L3.
And there, that coordinate isn't white without spending points, and they can't coordinate things with a stress token on them, which AP5 can do.
Yeah, that is pretty nuts.
This kind of goes back to the list I took. This is fitting into the list I took to Santa Clara, where I went 5-1, right. Where the whole point was, you know, basically Cassian always putting a coordinate on Wedge and then eating the stress off of that. Well, now I just always coordinate with AP5, and then even at the top of a turn, I can barrel roll him even when stressed if it looks like I'm in real trouble.
Right, right. No, and that's, I think Wedge with the reposition is definitely an ace to contend with.
Yeah. If you spend the extra 30 points to bring a coordinate on the field, Wedge becomes an ace.
Well, but that's the other thing too, right? If Wedge has torpedoes and your third ship has torpedoes or some way of really hitting hard, are they really going to go for AP5 before taking, you know, you're not one of those types of players where you'd leave AP5 hanging, right? Because he has to be in the squad to do what he does.
Yeah, because he's also going to be my Leia carrier.
Right. And I think that is, you'll never not see that.
No, because it's probably some of the best 38 points in Rebels.
Exactly.
He's already decently tough. You know, to evade 5 health at initiative 1, meaning more often than not you're flying past him. Oh, by the way, he has a rear arc. And every time you go chasing AP5, he's got three big brothers going, oh, hey, did you poke my Roomba?
Yeah, man. And there's the other thing, too. Can't he also take a astromech?
Yes.
Yep. Why not? Why not make him? Why not make him? What was he? 38? Why not make him 41?
42. He'd be 42.
42. Oh, that's right, because it's four. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other one, actually, he gets a lot of use out of R4 because it changes the difficulty on. I got to count here. One, I think it changes the difficulty of four different maneuvers.
Yes, it does. The soft one and the hard two.
Yep. So if you do back up, which he does have that angled reverse that catches a lot of people off guard, trust me. Would AP5 with a reverse be a good idea to put Snapshot on?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds real good. That sounds real strong.
I mean, it's 45 points after Leia, but...
I mean, if you... Depending on what you take with Wedge and him... It's 45 points of I can't shoot it first because Wedge is going to come at me.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the only way you're ever going to get two attacks in a turn out of AP5.
This is also true. I mean, you turn your three-ship list into a four-ship list, essentially, right? And any extra damage that AP5 does is just icing on the cake.
It's a bonus. Yeah,
exactly.
Now, sadly, Jyn Erso is still not... hyperspace legal, so there is still no way to get an evade token on Wedge to easy proc juke, sadly.
Yeah, and there are a lot of these upgrades that I'm looking at that I'm wondering when are they going to become hyperspace legal, because there really isn't a ship affiliated with them that, you know, justifies or at least makes sense in putting it into upgrade. Right, so like Jyn is one of those, right? So like I thought that she would become legal when the U-Wing comes back out. Well, the U-Wing is coming back out, and she's still not legal.
They may just decide that she's one of the things that stays...
extended.
Stays extended only. Like, I don't think the Z95 is ever going to go hyperspace for Rebels.
Yeah, no, that is interesting. I never actually thought about that. Would they consider... specifically not putting certain ships in to hyperspace.
Yeah, I think later in another episode we should talk about are they ever going to just erase hyperspace as a format? Like, is next year going to not be hyperspace trials? Or is it just going to be all extended events? Which I think would be an interesting decision. I don't think hyperspace has worked out the way they expected.
Yeah, I don't... Well, and there's the other thing, too. You look at all the results, and all the lists are the same.
Yeah.
And with like, one or two minor changes. Like, same ship, different pilot, right? Like...
Yep.
It's true. Thinking about it now, I'm wondering if they do dislike what hyperspace has done, versus extended.
Yeah, I mean, there's room for debate on how to proceed with hyperspace, but we're running right up on that clock, and we do like to sometimes keep our episodes direct and concise, so thank you very much, Drew. Let's go ahead and get on up out of here. Listeners, thank you very much for joining us. As per the usual, best of luck writing those extended lists for the Last Chance Qualifier and for Worlds, and we will talk to you next week. Drew, go ahead, sign off.
Yeah, good luck, everybody. I'm excited to see what you guys are going to do. I'll be watching from my LOV, delivering mail.
Collect heads, folks. Do well. And we are out of here.
Sunfack it up.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.